Brother Howard and his family are blessing our church. Our folks thank the world of y'all. They said to be sure and tell you that. When I told them I was coming, I told them, I said, I talked to Brother Howard on the phone and told him that I wanted to try to get out there and visit them. Man, people in the church just started jumping up saying, well, I want to give $100 for a plane ticket. I want to give $100. I mean, we had the money in about 25 seconds. We had the money for the plane ticket. So all we had to do was get back on the phone and put the dates down. Our folks thank the world of Brother Howard and his wife. And we tell you, we appreciate your faithfulness. Appreciate your diligence to stay by the stuff. And it thrills our heart. To come out here in the middle of nowhere. Amen. I could not believe how much this place looks like the place in South Africa where we were missionaries. If you go to Bloemfontein, South Africa, it looks just like Tucson. It's just flat, brown grass and then little mountains sticking up everywhere that just stick out of the ground. It's just from the air it looked like it. And even y'all have got some of these houses got walls and stuff around the yards like we had now, because ours was about 8 feet tall with razor wire on top of it. But I think we got them up there for the same reason, amen. Let's keep the dogs in and keep the bad guys out. It's a joy to be here. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do for us this week. I preached a message. I'm not going to preach out of this, but I want to read you a verse. I preached a message on this just a few weeks ago in Acts chapter number 3 when Peter and John was going into the temple to pray. And there was that crippled man that was laying there asking alms. The Bible says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something.
Yeah.
And all I want to ask you this week, if you'll do me a favor, come here every night expecting to receive something.
Amen.
A lot of people go to church just want to spectate. Right. They want to sit back and they want to watch and just see what's going on. And it reminds me of the woman that got in the car and they was headed back home and she was talking to her grandson. She said, man, that was just the worst message I've ever heard. She said, the singing just stunk. The specials, they couldn't get it together. And the little boy said, well, I thought it was a pretty good show for a dollar. And I'm afraid most people just go to church and throw their dollar in and sit back for the show. But I want us to come to church this week expecting to receive something. And I preached this to the church and I said, that man expected to receive something. And he did receive something, because the one he looked at, Peter said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. He got something because of what he was looking at. Because of what he was listening to. And then he lifted himself up in verse number 7, got out of the dirt. And he was leaping up in verse number 8. And then you find him over in verse number 11. The Bible says, and he hailed Peter and John. He started loving the right kind of people. Amen?
Yeah.
And that man got some help now. And you can come to church tonight, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and not get anything. Not grow one iota in your spiritual life. But I promise you, if you and I come to church expecting to receive something, it might just be a testimony. Brother, that testimony spoke to my heart.
Amen.
That testimony blessed my heart. Amen. We have testimony services. I don't know if y'all have them out here sometimes. I don't even get to preach. Sometimes I have to break in to preach. They just testify, jumping up two and three at a time. And man, I love it when God moves like that in the service. Sometimes somebody's got a testimony, and this is exactly what you needed. Maybe it's a song. Maybe somebody just speaking to you in the parking lot and hugging your neck, and that's exactly what you needed at that time. I just want you to come to church expecting to receive something. I have struggled all day, literally, all day. My wife slept on the plane. And I didn't. I dozed a little bit, but I have gone through my notes. I've gone through my messages, trying to find the mind of God for tonight. And I didn't want to get up here and shoot a blank. I want to help the church. And I've got a message on my heart, but it just does not go with the service so far. I can tell you that. Some Sometimes God gives me a message and I say, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? In fact, I didn't preach this message at our church at Pleasant View and Taylor's. Lord gave me this message yesterday morning, sitting at the table drinking a cup of coffee, and Lord gave me this message, and I took it to church and got to church, and God said, don't preach it. And fortunately, I had another message in there that He gave me on Wednesday that I didn't preach Wednesday night. I'm always running a week or two behind on my messages. And so I don't know, but what, maybe God didn't give me that message for this church. And if it flies here, I may preach it to my crowd. And if it don't fly, they'll never know this message ever existed. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's one of those messages that it can fly and you still don't think it flies because it's going to hit pretty close to home. I was standing in the back of the church talking to trying to meet everybody, trying to figure out who's from here and who's from this other pastor's church, and I finally gave up. I'm not very good with names. I do remember faces, but I'm not very good with names. And I was hoping to see that brother you was talking about, Brother John Smith and his wife that came through here recently. She was my third grade teacher at Tabernacle, and I was looking forward to seeing her. And letting her realize that all those predictions she made about me growing up being a bum and a nothing, it didn't come to pass. Amen? Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than a bum. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, take your Bibles to Mark chapter number 9. I'm trying to soften the ground because I believe the seed that we got to sow tonight, I believe it can help us if we'll let it. Sometimes preaching can get pretty close to home. I was reading these verses yesterday morning, and I was really just amazed. I hadn't seen this before. And I've preached out this passage several times. Maybe later on this week, if the Lord let me, I'll give my testimony. Maybe tell you a little bit more about myself. But I want to go ahead tonight and get into the message. I've got a lot I want to cover. I don't want to keep you here all night. Some of you I know drove a good ways. And so I want to be respectful of time and still mind the Lord tonight. Maybe later on this week, maybe tomorrow night or Wednesday night, Lord, let me tell you a little bit about us and some things that God's done with us in the past, and just give you a little bit more of a background about where we came from. And we're just thrilled to be here. We really are. And it's our prayer, our church is praying that God will let us be a blessing and a help and encouragement to you. But Howard, we want to charge your battery. We want to just be a blessing. And tonight, the message may not seem like we're being a blessing, but if we can get through tonight, maybe God will let us cut down a honey tree or something tomorrow night, all right? Let's all stand our feet, Mark chapter number 9. Thank you so much for the motel room and the rental car. That bed looked so good. I didn't lay down, but I looked at it and I drooled. And tonight, Lord willing, we'll crash and burn in the motel. But for now, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered, said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I can relate to that man. I'm sure some of you parents can too. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And all times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Please, church, pray for me tonight that God would help us to be able to deliver this message, Lord, as we approach your throne this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this body of believers. Thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to meet once again in your house. Thank you for the singing. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies. And Father, now I pray that you'd put your hand on the message. Take, Lord, these verses. Take, Lord, these things that you gave us yesterday. And God, I pray that you'd help this church, Father, to be receptive. Help us, Father, to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Help us to search our hearts. Help us, Father, tonight to sit with a receptive, tender heart, expecting to receive something. And Lord, realizing that maybe there's something in this message that you have for us. God, I pray that you give me liberty, give me power. Have your perfect will and way in the service is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are several different directions that you could take with this passage of Scripture. I preached on this message once. I preached on this passage and pretty much just dealt with verse number 29 on prayer and fasting. There's not a whole lot of prayer and fasting going on anymore. I'm afraid that's one of the reasons why we see our country in the shape that it's in today. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months, my heart's been broken as I just sat back and I watched the country that I love, the nation that I love, as just being completely torn to shreds. I don't even recognize the United States of America anymore. And I tremble to think about what kind of country my children's going to have to grow up in. I've got four children. My oldest one's 12, my youngest one is 6. And I just tremble to think what my two boys and two girls are going to have to deal with when they get my age, if the Lord tells us it's coming. But I believe that we're experiencing what we're experiencing because God's people have failed to pray, and there's been a failure to pray and fast down through the years. And there's just some things that only is going to be accomplished by prayer and fasting. We can preach on that tonight. And no doubt God can speak to our hearts. I preached on this message just recently out of verse number 24 where the man, the father of the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Jesus said in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then this father said, Lord, I do believe. And then he turned around and said, help thou mine unbelief. And I preached on this passage of Scripture how that this man had a serious problem. His family was in a mess. His son was in a mess. And here's pretty much what the man was saying. He said, Lord, I don't have any problem believing that you can. I'm just having a hard time believing you will.
Yeah.
We could preach on that tonight for about 45 minutes and just realize that we all would agree that there's nothing too hard for God. Yeah. That with God, all things are possible. But our problem is believing that God will intervene on our behalf. We have a hard time believing that God cares enough about us to actually listen to us when we pray, to actually incline His ear unto our cry. I'm thankful that He can. And he will.
Amen.
If we have the faith.
Amen.
We can preach on that tonight. The thought that the Lord spoke to me about, we find the phrase in verse number 25. The Bible says that he rebuked the foul spirit. And I begin to think about that foul spirit. And I begin to think about how that the reason why many churches are going through a storm and they're going through a battle and the pastor is struggling to preach and struggling to get a message from God and people's not getting saved and there is no revival and our young people are going astray and visitors come in and leave unchanged and our neighborhoods around us are unaffected by our churches. I'm afraid that a lot of it could be blamed on the fact that many people in our churches today have got a foul spirit.
Right. Yeah. God,
yeah. Now, I understand in this story, this boy is demon-possessed, though we don't find the word demon in here. We don't find the word devils in here that I can recollect as I read through there. But we do understand that this boy had a serious problem. problem with evil spirits, but there are some things that this passage of Scripture uses to describe the spirit that was in this boy that I believe we could pull out and we could analyze and recognize that even sometimes saved people can have this kind of spirit in their home and in their church and in their community. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time laying a lot of groundwork because I want to dive right into this text. But you know as well as I do that in Ephesians chapter number 5, rather in Galatians chapter number 5, rather, the Bible's talking about being filled with the Spirit. And He gives a contrast. I want to just give you a couple of verses quickly to lay the groundwork for what I'm going to preach on tonight, because I'm taking this boy that is possessed of an evil spirit and I'm going to make an application to a foul spirit that I'm afraid many times it has affected and has permeated through our churches, and it is hindering what God wants to do. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 5 and in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh." These are contrary to one or the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Do you want to see people get saved?
Amen.
Do you want to see marriages put back together?
Amen.
Do you want to see young people have a heart for God and have a tenderness for God? Do you want to see young people get on fire for God and give their own personal walk with God and learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost and learn how to live right and dress right and act right and conduct themselves and grow up and become just a decent citizen and a decent human being and just a Christian? I will tell you what, there's a lot of things that we would like to see happen, but it's not happening because the flesh is overruling the Spirit. Verse number 18 says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse number 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That's my point in this message. This boy had an evil, foul spirit, and it was so real in him. He was so full of this foul spirit, the Bible says, that it was manifested.
Right.
It was obvious. I mean, it was apparent. The problem with a lot of people that have a foul spirit is they just don't recognize how obvious it really is.
Right. Amen.
They do not recognize that when they walk into the room, when they come home from work, when they enter into the sanctuary, that foul spirit that has corrupted them, that has defiled them, that has eaten them up, is so manifested and so obvious and so apparent that many times it grieves the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
The Bible doesn't say what caused this boy to have this foul spirit, but this man brings this boy to Jesus, and Jesus said, "How long has he had this foul spirit?" And his daddy said in verse 21, "Since he was a child." This boy has had this problem for a while, but it's got so bad that I can't deal with it anymore. I've got to get some help.
Amen.
You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid a lot of people enjoy their foul spirit. It is so much now a part of their character. It is so much a part of their personality. It is now so much a part of their life that they would feel insecure if they didn't have that foul, bitter spirit. And yet people still come to church. And they sit on the pews, and they wonder why the preacher struggles while he's trying to preach. They wonder why the song service is not really making any helping them. They wonder why nothing's going on in their spiritual life. I can tell you why. It could be there's a foul spirit that has entered into them somewhere down the road. And boy, we can all tell stories about where we could have had or could have got a foul spirit from.
Amen. Yeah.
We all want to sit around tonight at the service and compare battle scars. I'm sure we've all got them. If you're looking for a reason to have a foul spirit, I promise you, there's plenty of them.
Right.
If we would all just sit around tonight and talk about some of the things that we had to experience as a child growing up, and sexual abuse, and physical abuse, and mental abuse, and all kinds of handicaps, and all kinds of things that we were deprived of growing up, and things that happened to us at school, and things that happened to us on the job, and things our wife done to us, our husband's done to us. If we want to sit around and we all want to puke up all these things, we can all do it if we wanted to. But somewhere down the road, something got under your saddle and has produced produced a foul spirit, and it's killing you. It's killing you. And before God can help you, you've got to deal with a foul spirit. So I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on the fruits of a foul spirit. When a person is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, it will produce fruit in their life. We know what it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the fruit that is the product of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. But if you're being controlled by a foul spirit, it's also going to produce some fruit.
Right.
And it's going to be just as obvious as the fruit of the Spirit is in a Spirit-filled believer.
Amen.
Let me give you some of these tonight. The Bible says in verse number 17, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Write this down. Some of the fruit of a foul spirit. Number one, it'll be a dumb spirit. Now that dumb there doesn't mean stupid. It means unable to talk, unable to speak. You say, preacher, I know we're supposed to be soul winners. And we got to sing, I long to tell the story. But I just really can't talk to people about the Lord. I just really can't tell people that I was lost on my way to hell. And now that I'm saved, and that my sins have been washed away, and my sins are in the depths of the sea, or even better than that, the Bible says, they're gone.
Amen.
He said, the whole Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Preacher, I know how I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus. I'm not supposed to witness. I just can't. You might want to check and see if you've got a foul spirit.
Good. Amen.
Because the first thing we find out about this boy with a foul spirit, preacher, is he was dumb. Couldn't open his mouth.
Amen.
Couldn't say anything. It's amazing when you talk about ballgame. When you strike up a conversation in the elevator with a complete stranger and talk about ballgame, talk about politics, talk about the weather.
Right.
Can't say nothing about the Lord.
Yeah.
Can't say anything about Jesus.
Right.
Can't say a thing to people about what God's done for us. Too ashamed. Too embarrassed. That'll check your spirit. Get full of the Holy Spirit of God. You ain't got to read far in the book of Acts to realize when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it gives you boldness to witness.
Amen.
These boys, and this boy, he had a dumb spirit. He didn't just have a hard time witnessing. He had a hard time, amen, in the preacher.
That's right. Amen.
You know, sometimes when the preacher's preaching, you get so into it that you forget to say amen every now and then. I wish every church member, Brother Howard, could be a pastor for just about a month. It would transform the way that they sell with you.
Amen.
When the preacher's up preaching and you look at it, but it looks like he's had a hard time getting his thoughts, he's having a hard time getting his words out, instead of looking at him saying, well, you didn't study? Didn't you pray? What are you doing? You know what y'all do? Y'all jump up and say, hey, man, bless the Lord! Praise, preacher!
Yeah.
Help my family!
Yeah.
Preach to my family! Preach to my children!
Yeah.
How do you know God?
Yeah.
You've got a foul spirit.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time saying this.
Yeah. Right.
And it's amazing that dumb spirit never is dumb at the back door. It's never dumb on the phone going home from church. Oh man, I'm glad y'all weren't here this morning. My word, he laid an egg bigger than Dallas. It's not dumb going out the back door, preacher. Until you're struggling this morning. Yeah, I was struggling. Why don't you say amen every now and then to help me out?
Good.
If you've ever done any hunting with dogs, you know the more you holler at them, the harder they hurt.
Right.
There's been times when I was preaching, I felt like I had to nut myself a ditch, and somebody just had to say, preach, brother God. Wow, I was ready to preach.
Amen. Amen.
Right, but if you've got a foul spirit, preacher done something 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, and you just can't get over it. And that foul spirit has just grown. And that foul spirit's just festered in your soul. He could stand up here and be crying, begging for an amen, and you ain't gonna say amen.
That's right.
Why? Dumb spirit. Y'all all still with me now?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. No edification. No encouragement. That dumb spirit came back to the man of God. What about this, preacher? That dumb spirit is not going to tell him to shut up when he starts gossiping.
Right,
somebody calls you, and say, hey, you know, we got some problems at the church.
Yeah.
And you just listen.
Right.
Instead of saying, hang on just a second. We don't have any problems at the church. If we've got a problem, it's you, pal.
Amen,
brother. Amen. Boy, I'd have a church full of people that had that kind of
guilt.
Amen. Somebody calls and says, man, I'm telling a preacher, that preacher, he does some things he just don't understand. Say, no, let me explain something to you, pal. He does understand a whole lot more than you think he does.
Amen.
You're the one that don't understand.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody called a man in my church just the other day. I talked to him Saturday. Somebody called a man in my church the other day. Yeah, this man, bless his heart. I love him and he loves me. But he don't come to church for about 3 or 4 times a year. And somebody called him. Said, no, he ain't been coming. Said, somebody at the church made you mad. He said, no, my work schedule's kind of hectic and my wife's got bad health. I'd see about her. And they said, well, you know, we got some problems at the church. He said, no, I didn't know that. They said, yeah, there's just some things the people don't understand. He said, hold on just a second, time out. I don't want to hear your mess.
Amen.
He said, if you got something you want to say, me and you and the preacher sit down for breakfast in the morning, and let you tell me in front of the preacher, you know what that man said? Well, I guess they ain't going to be no good talk to you. He said, no, you got the wrong number.
Amen.
But you let somebody in the church get a foul spirit, and somebody start talking about the preacher, start criticizing the piano player, criticizing whoever's taking up the offering, criticizing the Sunday school lesson, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to have a dumb spirit. They ain't going to say nothing.
Amen.
They're going to let it go in and just make it worse and make it worse and make it worse. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
The fruit of a foul spirit is a dumb spirit.
Right.
Let's keep reading. The Bible says in verse number 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. We find it again in verse number 20. The Bible says straightway the spirit tear him. Look at verse number 26. And the Spirit cried and ripped him sore. You can look those words up. Here's what it means. It means it's not only a dumb spirit, but it is a divisive spirit. That spirit that was within that boy was doing everything that it possibly could to rip that body apart.
Amen.
Not put it back together.
Amen.
The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's just not a whole lot of peacemakers anymore in our churches.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more people that will get involved in the renting and the tearing and the dividing. I'm going to tell you something. When you just look around in this room right here at how many different backgrounds and cultures and how many different scenarios that is sitting in this room right here, it's a miracle that we're all sitting here together in one mind and one accord, clothed and in a right mind.
Amen.
Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that.
Amen.
Only God can take people from every kind of background. We probably got people that grew up and was involved in drugs and alcohol and all kind of junk. I grew up in a preacher's home, got saved when I was 4 years old, and God just mixed us all up and put us all in here together. And if you're looking for something to tear at and rip apart and form a schism or a division in the body, you ain't going to try very hard. We've got enough differences. We got enough different ways of thinking. We got enough different ways of seeing things. And if we want to split this church no bigger than it is tonight, we can split 47 different ways. That would be hard to do. The hard part is keep it all together.
Yeah.
All it takes is one person with a foul spirit.
Right.
One man or one woman that's just got some burr up under their saddle and it's just eating at them, and instead of them going to the altar and dealing with it and confessing it and getting right with God, they start tearing and ripping at the body.
Right.
What we can say about that, I'm going to give you some verses. The Bible, the verses that we just read in Galatians said something about that. Listen to this. Here's what it said in Galatians 5. It says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. The Bible says that he was written, tearing. The Bible says he gnashed with his teeth in verse number 18. Do you see the division? Do you see that divisive spirit that's not trying to unify. I said somebody the other day, and I said, you don't understand something. I said, if one of these days, if God, it was a preacher, I said, if one of these days God ever lets you pastor, you will understand what I'm about to say. But if you've never been a pastor, what I think I say is not going to make a whole lot of sense. But one of the biggest responsibilities, one of the biggest duties as a pastor and as a shepherd of a flock is keeping all the sheep together and headed in the same direction at the same time.
Amen.
That is a full-time job. Just keep all the sheep, and if you've ever done any sheep herding, if you've ever seen sheep herding, or if you've ever seen any kind of cattle herding, and they have to ride that perimeter, and to keep those animals going and moving and pointing in the same direction. Every now and then, you've got this maverick, he's got a better idea, he knows where he wants to go, he knows where everybody's supposed to be doing, and he just heads off, and there he goes, and everybody else will stop, and go chase him down, and bring him back in, bring him back around. That's pretty much what a pastor's full-time job is. Keep all the sheep in the fold and headed in the same direction. Headed toward the promised land. And here's what bothers me. One sheep gets sideways with a shepherd. He says, I don't want to be in this fold anymore. I don't want to be in this flock anymore. I don't like you anymore. And here's what they do. They bail out and there they go. You know what happens? 14 sheep chase after him.
Right.
Looking over their shoulder saying, shepherd, don't look at us like that now. We love him.
Yeah. That's
right. You know what they're saying? You don't love him.
That's right. Yeah.
I told my church one time, I said, half the people that you go chasing after when they get mad at me and leave, I loved them before you did. I'm the one that found the Lord. I'm the one that baptized them. I'm the one that got them into this church. They fall out with me. They fall out with the Lord of God. And they leave. And you're going to chase after them. Now I've got to go tell y'all what y'all back in.
Right, yeah.
God
help.
Amen. You know what happened? That spirit, that foul spirit, start dividing. Right. Start sowing seeds and driving wedges. And seeing there's two ladies in the church that's got a little thing going. They're a little bit miffed at one another because one of them got to keep the nursery and she wanted to keep the nursery. And this one wanted to sing this song and this one over here didn't want her to sing it or whatever. And here's what happens. That person with that foul spirit, they'll step right in there between them and they'll just start pushing them further and further and further apart.
Right.
Renting and tearing and gnashing in their teeth on the body. Job chapter 16 verse 9 says, he teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eye upon me. Psalm 37:12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Psalm 35 verse number 16 says, with hypocritical mockers in feast they gnashed upon me with their teeth. What about Stephen in Acts chapter number 7? He was preaching and the Bible says at least 3 or 4 times that he had the power of God. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost over and over again. He was not preaching with a bitter spirit. He was not preaching mad. He was not grinding axes. He was not shooting at people. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? The Bible says when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And I'm going to tell you what that foul spirit do if you ever let that thing get inside of you. You'll find yourself spending more time dividing than you do uniting.
That's right. That's good.
And I'll say this, and I have no doubt Pastor Howard will back me up 100%. A pastor's worst nightmare is somebody with a divisive spirit.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
There have been so many times I wanted to just get up in the pulpit and say, let it go.
Amen.
Just let it go. That little thing that's just irking you, that little thing that's bothering you, that little something that somebody in the church does or says or whatever that just drives you up the wall, just let it go.
Amen.
Don't let that thing get in here and hinder what God's trying to do.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, with all due respect, Brother Howard, the Holy Ghost is having to work under enough load as it is.
That's right.
Look in the mirror what he's having to work with.
Yeah.
He's having to try to work with us. He's trying to reach Tucson, Arizona with you.
Yeah.
You are what he has chosen to reach this city with.
That's right.
He could have sent angels. He could have wrote it in the constellations. He could have wrote John 3:16 on the back of every leaf. But no, God in His sovereignty chose to put you in charge of that job.
Amen.
He's already had a work under load.
Yeah.
We don't need to make it any worse by taking the church, which is the agency that God is using in 2009 to reach the world. We don't need it splintered up and schismed up and divided up.
Amen.
Everybody fussing and fighting with one of those
right.
another over a bunch of nonsense.
Amen.
Because see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
And
against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And if all of us could quit fighting with one another long enough to always focus on the devil, we might could make some, we might could advance
right.
into his territory a little bit. But all the devil's got to do is throw a little seed in, throw a little foul spirit in this woman, throw a little foul spirit in this man, and he's got the whole church in so much turmoil, and the pastor's so busy trying to keep everybody from cutting one of those head off that the whole world is dying and going to hell. Well, Pleasant View Baptist Church is over here and plays around.
That's right. God help.
That divisive spirit is a tool of the devil.
Right.
No unity. I wrote this down. The divisive spirit does not cooperate, it complicates. So we see that fruit of foul spirits, dumb spirits, divisive spirit, number 3. The Bible says in verse number 18 that he teareth him and he foameth. Look at verse number 20, the last part of the verse. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Twice it describes the foul spirit as a spirit that makes somebody foam. Write this down. It's a dumb spirit. It's a divisive spirit. It's a disgusting spirit.
Right.
Would you want to kiss somebody that was falling at the mouth? Would you want to hug their neck if they're just falling at the mouth? I'm just... You know what you do? You go, sick! That is nasty! That's what people do when they get rabies. That's what people do. They've got some kind of bacteria and something going on in their body. And I mean, everything ain't working just right. And I mean, you ain't supposed to foam at the mouth.
Right.
And that's not normal. That's disgusting. But you know what will happen if you get a foul spirit and you don't deal with that thing? Mm-hmm. Everything that comes out of your mouth is just disgusting. There won't be any sweet testimonies. There won't be any words of exhortation. There won't be any words of encouragement. There won't be any beautiful songs that glorify God. And while you sing, people set their tears running down their face. Everything you say, people's going to cringe. It's going to be like somebody scratching a chalkboard when you talk. Ugh, I can stand to hear that person say something because they're so full of bitterness. They got such a foul spirit, all that complaining, all that criticizing,
right.
and all that critiquing.
Amen.
We got so many backseat drivers.
Right.
We got so many Monday morning quarterbacks that knows exactly how everything's supposed to be. You can't get them to lift a blessed finger to do anything.
Right.
But they know how it ought to be done.
Yeah.
They know what songs we ought to sing. They know how many verses we need to sing. They know what key is that we need the song to be played in. If it's too high or too low, they'll tell you. They know exactly what the preacher's supposed to preach. They know exactly what illustrations he's supposed to use and not use. They know how long he's supposed to preach. They know how many people are supposed to be getting saved. They know what kind of cross we're supposed to be seeing. But when it comes time to actually make it happen, all you see is foaming. Foaming. A disgusting spirit. Bible says in Matthew 15:11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth.
Amen.
This defileth a man.
Amen.
Criticism. Complaining. Critiquing. Those of you that like to critique the preacher, I wish there's some way that one Sunday morning he could give you the pulpit and let you see what it's like to be on this side. Yes. There's people sitting out there that you've been out knocking on doors and inviting folks to church. And you know you got a person sitting in this room that if they do not get saved before they die, they're going to fry in hell for the rest of eternity. And you've got one shot, preacher. You've got one shot at them.
to try to help them, try to get the gospel out. You've got one chance. And instead of everybody in the church praying and holding up that man of God and saying, "Oh God, move in the service. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, speak to his heart, convict him of his sin. Don't let him leave this building. Don't let him leave this building alone." You sit back and say, "I can't wait. He's preaching this long, man. The restaurant's beating the clubs." Man, the Methodists are going to get down to the buffet before we can get down there. Why don't that preacher just shut up? I'll tell you why. Because there's somebody in here needs to get saved.
Amen.
Somebody in here needs to get right with God. And all that's coming out of your mouth, foam. Junk. It's disgusting. It displeases God. It hinders the spirit. It hurts the preacher. It hurts the church.
Right.
And you're playing right into the devil's hands if you've got that kind of spirit.
Amen.
Number four. The Bible says in verse 18, "And he pineth away." The Bible says, "He taketh them, he teareth them, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." I looked that word pineth up. You know what it means? Write this down. Number four, it's a deteriorating spirit. That word pineth away means drying up, shriveling up, withering up, wasting away. That's exactly what it means. You may be sitting here tonight saying, "Preacher, I have been in this church for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. I just haven't grown." Well, I appreciate you being honest. You might have a foul spirit.
That's right, amen.
Because I don't understand how anybody could sit under sound biblical preaching.
Amen.
That's right.
Singing like we just heard a while ago. Testimonies like we just heard. I don't know how anybody could sit under this and not grow a little bit.
Right. Amen.
I mean, let's just be honest. You take a seed, stick it in some dirt, put it under a light, put some water on it, something's going to happen.
That's right.
Right. And it ain't got to be the most beautiful garden in the world. It ain't got to be the most expensive light fixture holder in the world. It ain't got to be the most expensive water that you're pouring on it. Just give it some dirt, some light, some water, and something's going to grow.
Amen. Amen.
But what if it's all fouled up with a spirit? And every time the preacher preaches, you say, "That ain't for me." Or, "I can't believe he's saying that. He knows he's talking to me." You know what amazes me sometimes, the way people think? Everybody, I mean, the church is size, everybody knows everything about everybody. And the preacher's folks just get up here and just preach about everything everybody in here is not doing. Have you come in here with a cough? And God's got some cough syrup. Drink it.
Amen.
If you've got a bitter spirit and the message is about bitterness, it's for you. Yes.
Amen.
You know it. Preacher knows it. Everybody knows it.
Amen.
I've got four kids, and sometimes we sit down as a family and we just kind of go down through the line and we deal with everybody's faults and failures.
Amen. Right.
It was family time, quality family time. When we was growing up, my mother used to call them talks. Why don't we have a talk?
A talk always ended in a whipping. Because the more they got talking about all the junk I was doing wrong, the more upset, the madder they got, and I always end up getting a whipping after the family talk. I didn't like family talks, but those family talks was making some headway in the family. Sometimes God wants you to just come in here and he wants you to take the perfect law of liberty and look in it and see what manner of man you are. And then continue therein and go and do what you heard.
Amen.
That's us. If you're beat tonight, if you just bear with me, I'll try to get through this. Sometimes the message is for you.
Amen.
And sometimes, when the preacher is studying a portion of Scripture, God lays you on his heart.
That's right.
Amen. Well, it wouldn't be accurate for me to get in the pulpit and say, "I don't know who this message is for." Oh, yes, I do! I know a good half a dozen it's for, and it's probably more than that that needs to know. And 99.9% of the time,
Amen.
The Holy Ghost has already preached it to me 3 or 4 times.
Amen.
And you're just kind of getting the crumbs from rich man's table. He's already got my dog high, as we say in South Georgia.
Amen.
Sometimes a man of God gets up and says, hey, this is what I've been studying. This is where I'm at in my spiritual life. And now you can get in on it. And lo and behold, guess what? You're in the same ditch. You're fighting the same thing. The same flesh, same devil, same world, same problems. We all have it.
Amen.
But a foul spirit will produce a deteriorating spirit. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 1, talk about that godly man. So he should be like a tree. Planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And I love this part. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I wonder tonight, are you growing? Are you flourishing? Do you have more power with God and man this year than you did last year?
That's good.
Do you have more joy? Are you advancing in your spiritual life? Have you prayed in the Holy Ghost more this year than you did last year? Everybody still with me? Because if you've got a foul spirit, you're going to be deteriorating. You're going to be declining. You're going to be backing up. You're going to be withered. You're going to be shriveling up. Because that's exactly what the foul spirit does. Cause you to pine away. I'm trying to get done. Number 5. The Bible says in verse number 20, straightway the spirit tear him. We've already talked about that. Look at the next phrase. The Bible says he fell on the ground. It's a disabling spirit. He wasn't able to stand before the Lord. Now, I just quoted a verse out of Psalm 1. It should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, what's it say? Psalm chapter 1, what's it say? Therefore, the sinner shall not stand in the judgment. Is that what it says? The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. If you better get over there and look at that. I'll misquote it. Talking about the inability to stand now. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand, verse 5, in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this foul spirit had this boy so messed up that when Jesus showed up, he fell on the ground. He couldn't stand up before the Lord. As a pastor, brother, you can relate to what I'm fixing to say. Sometimes I'd give my front teeth for 5 more good leaders in the church. I mean, I'd give my front teeth for just a few more men that can stand up in the congregation and be a pillar and be a leader and be someone that people can lean on and rely on because they've got the commitment, they've got the stability, they're firmly grounded in the Word of God. They're not fighting the preacher. They're not fighting the man of God. They're not all trying to create their own little ministry. They ain't got their own little focus. Their desire is to get behind the man of God and whatever vision he has for the church, that's their vision, to get behind him and back him and be a pillar and stand in the church.
Amen.
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 Good.
If you let somebody get a foul spirit, it's going to be a disabling spirit. You're not going to be able to do anything. And in fact, you can call on to pray, it'll kill the service dead in a hammer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, bro.
They can walk up the aisle with an offer plate, mm-hmm, and you ain't want to give. Because you know how they live. You know how they are. You know their inconsistencies. You know the lack of character. You know the lack of integrity. You know the lack of support for what is really going on in this place. And here's what will happen. That foul spirit will get you so fouled up that you will not be able to stand in the congregation. Well, I'm trying to get done. Number 6. The Bible says, let me get back over to my text. We're back in Mark chapter number 9 again. I'm trying my best to get done. I know y'all, some of y'all are tired, ready to go to bed.
Right.
The Bible says, in verse number 22, and oft times
and have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Number six, it is a destructive spirit. Oftentimes cast him into the fire. You may be sitting here tonight, and I don't know anybody here except the preacher.
Preacher, we had to spend a whole lot of time together. We love one another, but we hadn't been able to spill up, and he's all the way out here. So I don't know anybody here. I don't know any problems whatsoever that you have or this church has. And I like it that way.
Amen.
Because I'm just as free as a bird up here preaching.
That's right.
And if you walk out of here and say, well, the preacher taught me, a preacher hadn't told me anything.
Amen.
There may be somebody here, and you find yourself in the fire or in the water more often than not. And every time you turn around, you've got yourself in a mess. You've got yourself in some crisis. You've got yourself in some dilemma. You've got yourself in a mess. And you know what you have to do? And you need to keep doing this. Pick up the phone, preacher. I need to talk to you. I need you to pray with me.
He's good.
You know what the preacher does? You just tell me when and where. I'll be there.
Amen. That's good.
But you can't realize that your foul spirit's killing you. And instead of you being able to make some progress for God and make a contribution to what God's trying to do, the devil is having a heyday with you.
Amen.
You just can't seem to do anything right. Your wife won't treat you right. Your husband won't treat you right. Your kids won't act right. You can't get along with your boss. You done got fired 47 times and it's the economy. It's the recession.
Y'all still with me?
The devil's just trying
to destroy you. If you can't do it in the fire, he'll do it in the water. But every time you walk by a fire or a water hole, he's going to throw you in it every single time. He wants to destroy you. And you think the church is trying to do it. You think the preacher's trying to do it. You think it's that lady in the church. You think it's your husband. You think it's your wife that's trying to kill you. No! It's the devil.
Right.
I just told you, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right.
Your biggest problem is the devil.
Right.
Quit blaming on everybody else.
Amen.
And realize where your problem is.
Amen. That's good.
And last of all, but definitely not least, verse number 25, God sheds a little bit more light on this foul spirit. Now the Father came to him in verse number 17 and says, I've brought unto thee my son which hath a what? A dumb spirit. But look what Jesus said in verse number 25. Thou dumb and deaf spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I discovered, preacher? God sees a whole lot more wrong with you than even everybody else.
That's right. Amen.
You think, oh man, I've just got this problem. Everybody around you says, oh, he's got this problem. No. You've got this problem, this problem, this problem,
amen,
and this problem. And if you can ever get to Jesus, he'll pour them all out for you.
Amen.
He'll help you nip it in the bud as far as
it is.
I mean, when he gets done with you, it won't be a band-aid on a cancer. He'll cure it.
Amen.
He said, hey, this spirit that you think is just dumb, oh, it's dumb all right, but it's deaf too. It doesn't hear anything.
Amen.
That man had been talking to that boy for years. Son, quit going into the fire. Quit playing in the water. Quit foaming like that. That's embarrassing. Oh, quit tearing yourself. That boy couldn't hear him because he had a deaf spirit.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the most frustrating things to try to deal with as a pastor. And you get up and you've got a message and you've got Bible. It's King James Bible. And the man of God didn't write it. God wrote it.
Amen.
And he just gets up here and says, this is what it says. Gives you the chapter. Gives you the verse. And it goes right over your head and you walk out. I enjoy the message. Oh, Lord, help us. He enjoyed the message. I didn't want him to enjoy the message. I didn't want her to enjoy the message. I want her heart to get broken. I want his heart to get broken. And I want him to crawl down the aisle and get him
destiny here. People sit in churches 5, 10, 15, 20 years with a foul spirit and never get any help. Never get any help. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. If you go to a church service, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or revival service, if you can go to a single church service and God not speak to you specifically about something in your life that may be standing between you and God, you got problems.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Brother, I can go to a testimony service and get help. And the Holy Spirit of God be speaking to me.
Yes, sir.
Holy Spirit of God be pointing out things in my life. So you need to work on that, work on that. I'm going, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Cool. Then that crowd that's got that deaf spirit. And you do everything but call their name. You do everything but stand beside them and put your hand on their shoulder while you're preaching about them. And they don't get it.
Right.
There's a problem.
Right.
Somewhere down here,
yeah.
That only Jesus can fix.
Yeah.
That daddy brought that boy and said, "My boy is a mess. He's a mess." Jesus said, "Oh, it's a whole lot worse than you realize. But if you believe,
yeah,
I can fix it."
Amen.
The daddy said, "I believe you can. I just don't know if you will."
Amen.
Jesus said, "Why will you?"
Amen. That's good.
And I don't know who's here tonight to hear this message. It may be small. It may be big. It may be just the beginning. It could be so bad. It's just you're about that close to blowing out. Go find another church. Can I tell you something tonight? If you really want help with it, Jesus can help you.
Amen.
And He's the only one that can help you. If you're sitting there tonight and you're just, it's eating you up, you need to ask yourself the question, how bad is it going to have to get? How destroyed am I going to have to be on the inside? How long am I going to sit here fighting God and the man of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God before I say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Take it away. Fix it. Give me a clean heart. Give me a clean mind. Do whatever needs to be done, but God, I can't take it anymore." Just like that day, bring that boy. We're gonna have an invitation. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm just gonna ask a very simple question tonight. How much of a foul spirit did the Holy Spirit of God point out to you tonight in your life? The altar's open. Altar's open. Who's gonna be the first one? Get in the altar and say, "I need this message. The devil's been speaking to me. People's been speaking to me. I'm not exactly where I need to be with God. This is a revival service. If you can't do business with God on a Monday night of a revival, I don't know where you can do business with God. There's nobody here but us. Don't let your pride get in the way. Say, Lord, I need some help with some things. There's some things I'm struggling with. There's some things I don't understand. There's some things I feel like maybe stand between me and God. And Lord, if you'll help me, Lord, I believe you can help me. Please help me." Folks are down here getting help. Folks are down here praying. You may want to come down here and pray about something completely different than what we preached about tonight. But maybe you're the message the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart. A word tonight. Are you going to sit there and let the Holy Spirit of God pass you by? Or are you going to surrender your heart to Him tonight and let Him do whatever it is needs to be done in your heart and in your life? The Holy Spirit of God spoke to me during this. Yesterday morning, even before church, the Spirit of God was showing me things in my life. I felt like I've been dumb. I hadn't witnessed. I hadn't been that bold witness. I didn't stand up for what was right when I should have. The Holy Spirit of God reproved me for that. That's something all of us struggle with. The dumb spirit, the deaf spirit, the divisive, gossiping spirit. God help us tonight as a church. If we could get past this, we might could have revival. If we could get these areas in our church fixed and cleaned up, God may be able to do something for us this week. Folks down here praying. Just a moment.
if you would, come get on the piano and just play softly some song. It doesn't matter what. Just play something. We're not in a hurry tonight. You stay in this altar until you get finished. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit of God says unto you, do it. Whatever He says unto you, do it. God's given you a man of God. He's given you a church. He's given you a body of believers, a fellowship. We have a place here to thrive and to flourish and to grow. God's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for this church. God forbid that anybody stand in the way of whatever it is that God wants to do. For the sake of your marriage and for the sake of your children, you ought to search your heart and out and say, Lord, show me if there's any foul spirit at all in my heart towards anybody. I want to have a pure spirit. I want to be pure in heart. Lord, I come into this church, I want to be just as innocent as the driven snow. I don't want to come in here with an agenda or a vendetta or come in here with any bitterness or anything that would hinder what God wants to do. I don't want a foul spirit. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And let God use me to be an asset and a blessing, rather than a distraction. Folks are still praying. Folks are still coming. As long as God's working, we're going to keep doing what we're doing right now. You might as well get in on it. Is your all on the altar? Well, she's praying. Is your all on the altar? Maybe some area in your life you're rebelling against God. This ain't never heard it preached like that before. I don't believe that's what those verses are talking about. Why don't you submit yourself to God? Won't you let God have His perfect work in your life? Quit fighting God. Quit fighting the Word of God. Quit wrestling the Scriptures and submit to the Word of God. It is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. And a spirit-filled Christian will just simply obey what the Word of God says. Won't argue with it. Won't defend their actions, defend their sin, defend their lifestyle. They'll just line up with the Word of God. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but somebody needs what I'm saying. We're Bible-believing Christians. We just follow what the Bible says. Just because you ain't never heard it before don't mean it's not true. Just because you ain't never had it taught to you or preached to you don't mean it's not in there.